Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us and starting the weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Horatio.
That would be a little weird. The big train? No, is that the horse?
No, Horatio was the big train.
Okay, who was the horse? There was Robert Woodard.
They called him the horse?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
I think it was the horse. Yeah.
Horatio Webster was the big train.
Apparently for exactly why you would imagine.
But, oh, okay.
Yeah, moving on.
You know, I'm not... You know, Howland that one time did say he was built like a Greek god. So I guess that's what he was talking about.
I think that's what they called him.
Remember Robert Woodard ever being called the horse.
I'm almost positive I heard Richard Williams tell this story before, but okay.
Maybe it meant his dad.
No, that's what I'm saying. Robert Woodard, the first Robert Woodard.
You're right. Okay, you're
right. The second Robert Woodard, I guess.
Was nicknamed Horse. You're correct. You're correct. I just looked it up. So,
anyways,
I thought you were talking about his son, and I was like, I don't ever remember.
No.
Okay.
The second or
the first one, the dad.
Robert Woodard the second?
He was Robert Woodard the second. He was not junior. Yeah.
The original Robert Woodard.
All right. We're all on the same page now. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. I mean, that thing is phenomenal.
We're off the rails.
That is a big one. It is big.
We've talked way too much about this stuff. I've had the people that work at my church are contacting me, asking me why we're talking about this stuff.
It's fine.
It's going way off the rails.
I mean, it's just a nickname. It's all right. It's phenomenal. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I don't know what this baseball schedule is like yet, so you might have a full day on this weekend where you don't have to do anything. You can go fire up the grill and put some steaks out there. That's what I did last week. I don't know if I talked about that. I did steaks on the grill last week, and they were awesome. Did some steaks with some baked potatoes. They were fantastic. And that can be you this weekend. All you got to do is fire up the grill and make beef the star of the show. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. I mean, we're into March now. We're only a couple of months from Mother's Day. And then right after that is Father's Day. It's time to start thinking about those things. Don't get caught, you know, empty-handed. Don't get caught at the last minute having to do all this. Get ahead now with a trip to College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to somebody who knows you by name, not just by your account number. Talk to a banker who provides a level of service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We were planning to preview a whole baseball series, but then the weather happened. So we've played a game. There was a game Thursday night, Mississippi State and Lipscomb, the opening of this final non-conference series for the Bulldogs. So we feel pretty good about his chances. Let's bring him back. Yeah, we should be okay.
Please.
Should be okay. Let's go to our one and only correspondent here on Thunder and Lightning, Future Brian. Thanks, guys. This is Future Brian reporting to you from the future. Mississippi State 8, Lipscomb 3 is your final score. Bulldogs struggle to get the bats going in the first five innings. The game was scoreless going into the sixth. Lipscomb actually gets on the board first, but then a five spot, and then one and two runs in the seventh and eighth, and the Bulldogs put it away. 12 hits for the Bulldogs, 12 hits for Lipscomb. I'll tell you this for Lipscomb, who, by the way, apparently their nickname is the Lipscomb Bisons. Guys, that's not a word, all right? Bison is the plural of bison, like moose and fish, all right? And bisons is not a word, so we will not be saying that again on this podcast, on my Twitter feed, anyplace. They'll just be Lipscomb the rest of the week. But if you look at their lineup, they're hitting over 300 as a team. They've got some guys that can mash in the middle of that lineup. Stelo Giannis is hitting 429. Carter's hitting 448. He's had a hit in every game this year. They can swing the bat a little bit. So on a night where Ryan McPherson, you know, we talked to O'Connor afterwards and talked to McPherson himself, and he just said, I didn't have his best stuff tonight. And maybe that's on the short rest or something. But, you know, six innings, five hits, one run, one walk. That was the first batter of the game. He did strike out eight. He pitched very effectively to not have had his best stuff. Maddox Webb, on the other hand, really struggled coming out of the bullpen for the Bulldogs. One and a third innings, five hits, two runs, both earned, struck out three and walked one. Ben Davis comes in and finishes the game out. One and two-thirds inning, he gets the save. Two hits, but no runs, struck out a couple. For the Bulldogs at the plate, Drew Weyers, two home runs tonight. He got the start at second, led off, two for five with two home runs. Ace Reese was three for four. Ryder Woodson, two for four with a home run, a monster shot deep into the left field lounge. And you guys won't believe this, but Bryce Chance was two for four with an RBI. Just continues to hit the baseball really well. Good win for Mississippi State. Again, like I said, a game where early on they were kind of scrapping and trying to put it together, but they figured it out there and made it relatively easy there in the end. So as we learned at the end of the game, they are still planning for a 6 o'clock first pitch on Friday. So nothing really changed in terms of the schedule. It's just this is game two instead of game three or game one, and no update on game three yet. Looking at that, it's scheduled for 6 o'clock on Saturday, but the weather forecast looks like that's going to be a rainy time. So I expect to hear something. Either we're going to find out they're going to play a doubleheader tomorrow, and maybe that comes out real early, or we're going to find out there's going to be a game early on Saturday, I think is what we're going to find out. But I don't know for sure on that, so please don't hold me to that. But Bulldogs advance to 12-2 on the season, and we'll try to get the series win tomorrow. Tomas Valančiūnas on the mound for the Diamond Dogs. Before I get out of here, the guys don't know it yet, but their segment on the offensive line, completely useless now. Because we learned later in the afternoon that UAB transfer Brandon Snay will be ineligible and will not play for Mississippi State this upcoming year. I reached out to some people at Mississippi State and got some more information. I'm going to read you exactly what was sent to me. So when he entered the, this is referring to Snay, when he entered the portal and we, referring to Mississippi State, signed him, his eligibility was reflected as having a remaining season. That was the understanding throughout the process. He had interest from multiple Power Four programs, and schools recruiting him were all operating operating under that same understanding. When the NCAA completed its review, they applied the Division II participation rules that were in place during his 2022 season. In the 2022 season at Elizabeth State University, I believe is the name, he played in four games. He believed that that was going to count as a redshirt because current NCAA rules for Division II would count that. But as this, as my source tells me, those 2022 Division II participation rules differ from today's model. So the NCAA decided they were going to apply the rules of the season at the time as opposed to the rules now. Once they applied that rule from his 2022 Division II season, the determination came back that he had exhausted his eligibility. If you go and look at UAB's website for last year, it lists him as a redshirt junior. Mississippi State, everybody that was recruiting him thought he had another year. He thought he had another year. Then it says, Mississippi State offered, hey, we can fight this. This is a time of when, you know, people are winning these cases. But he said he did not feel like taking it any further. Felt he didn't have much of a case. He didn't think it was going to work out and came to peace with it. Said, do I fight this or do I waste the time that I have, waste that time to train to make an NFL team if it comes back denied? And he's got a good point. He says, you know, he's going to go and start training. He'll participate in Pro Day. What are his chances of making it? I don't know. But long story short, he will not be at Mississippi State. So what that means is that the guys, their whole take on the offensive line, which revolved around Brandon Snay being that left tackle, is useless. So I'm making a command decision, and I'll have to tell present-day Robbie about it when I get a chance. We got to go back. We're going to have to redo that segment and figure it out from scratch. But I will say this. I don't know that Brandon Snay was going to be the left tackle for this Mississippi State team. I don't know if he was going to win that job or not. But Mississippi State had one overriding thing they had to do this season in the portal to get a left tackle, and they simply did not do it. And, yeah, they kind of got screwed here. There's no question about that. But at the end of the day, results are what matter. And they did not fix that problem. And it's a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about in a few minutes about Phil Loadholt. I mean, it's just this is where this team is. This is where Jeff Lebby's bread is going to be buttered, where his money is going to be made. If he's going to continue to be the coach at Mississippi State, that offensive line has got to be better. And as we sit here today on March 5th, that's tough to see. It's very tough to see. We'll do another segment now that we have this information next week. So we'll do two positional breakdowns next week on the podcast. All right, let's move back to the guys to a segment that you can listen to if you want to. Just know that there's some incorrect information in it. But it's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. No better place to eat before a ball game or after a ball game than to go see our friends over at Two Brothers. If you want to enjoy a fantastic meal, I'll make it real, real easy for you. All you got to do is head over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years.
Hit it, brother.
There he is. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, same people, same number, same relationships. You know them, they know you. You've been doing business with them this whole time. And best of all, because they're in Mississippi, if you've got a problem, chances are they can get out the same day to fix it for you. Make it easy for yourself. If you're a business owner and you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, call my friends at Advantage Business Systems, 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. So, Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Guys, I know a lot of y'all have been asking about these new hats, right? These new era hats. The state's got new baseball caps. They're coming in at Maroon & Co., along with everything else maroon and white. Everything maroon and white is at Maroon & Co. The logos that you want, the brand names that you want, the styles that you want, stuff you cannot find anywhere else. It's all right there for you at Maroon & Co., as is our promo code, THUNDER15. Take 15% off the regular price in-store or online at maroonandco.com. Before you go to your next game here in Starkville, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Gentlemen, I have some news for you from my friends at Scruggs. It involves some things that are happening this weekend, as we say. And, well, let's just put it this way. Spring is here. So, you know, whether you want it to be or not, spring is here. The grass is not waiting on anyone. It's time to gear up at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden during their John Deere Spring Sales event. Whether you're a pro or a weekend warrior, they've got the deals to get you moving. 0% for 36 months on all commercial mowers. You can tear up the trail with 1.9% for 36 months on the John Deere Gator. And for the heavy lifting, 0% for 72 months on compact and select 5 Series tractors. Can't beat these deals, guys. They are valid through April 30th. Don't wait for the weeds to win. Visit Scruggs today at 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo. At Scruggs, they have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, that's the name to know. You know Good Hope Land and Timber, and they know you. If you're a landowner, you've probably already done business with them. But if you haven't, they'd love a chance to earn your business, whether you're trying to buy or sell land or whether you already own land, a couple hundred or a couple thousand acres. Good Hope Land and Timber is here to help you make smart, sustainable, and best of all, profitable decisions. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a quick call to our friends at Good Hope Land and Timber. If you are in the land market right now, I can't advise you more. Reach out to Good Hope Land and Timber. Find out why they're locally trusted and landowner approved at Good Hope Land and Timber. Back to the studio to present day Brian and Robbie, who don't know that Brandon Snay is ineligible. He's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
We hope.
It's fine. I'll tell you what, he had a lot to talk about if it wasn't.
Yeah, one way or the other, I mean, he probably had some things to say. So. Yeah. I thought we were doing only if they win.
Well, yeah,
has that
but
gone? Has that
well,
changed
it's
again?
because what else do we have today? We need to recap that game, so we'll make it work. It'll be fine.
And also, like, I think we've gotten so tired of basketball. Like, I don't blame future Brian for not wanting to come lug back to the station and drag his carcass back into
His sorry carcass. That
Oh,
future
I don't think
Brian's
he
a
wants to.
CLB.
Yeah, I don't think he's really.
Yeah.
I don't think he's.
Well,
I think he's kind of over the whole basketball
he'll
deal.
be fine. It'll be fine. Yeah, the basketball is done. He'll be fine with this one. He'll be all right.
Did we say this future Brian did the ad reads, the second ad
Yeah,
reads?
he took care of that for us.
Thank you,
So.
future Brian. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I told him, I was like, "Hey, can you do this?" And he was like, "Absolutely, I can do it."
You and I had some great Two Brothers wings at the game
That is going to
on
happen.
Thursday night.
That's future Brian knows that I had those, but present Brian is aware it is going to happen.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited. Get to get my count up to 24 today. So, all right. That being said, two more games to play this weekend. I'm hopeful, and maybe future Brian can let us in on this as well, that they'll let us know what the rest of the schedule is. Looking ahead, it's supposed to be an interesting weekend in terms
I
of
think
weather.
Saturday is the bad rain day, right?
It looks that way, but Sunday is too. So looking at this is just my weather app. Tomorrow or Friday, as you're listening, 50% chance of rain. Saturday, 85% chance of rain. Sunday, 90% chance of rain.
Wow. So
So,
I feel like we're probably going to have a doubleheader Friday.
yeah, like an early, late doubleheader. Try to
Probably
move
like
us.
three
Like, well,
o'clock first pitch, maybe one.
like when does the rain supposed to start? Around noon. So, and then it's after 6. It's yeah, you're probably right. Probably start at 3 and then come back at 6 and have and that'll be it. So I
What they
might be
should, yeah,
there.
what they should do is they should try to start early on Friday, at least get that second game in, and then you have essentially 3 days.
To finish.
If they don't finish on Friday, you have 3 days to get that third one in.
Yeah.
Because they said on the thing, it was, I always understood that, like, you only had, I thought it was like you have 3 days to get games in. I didn't know you could extend to the fourth.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just you can't get to Monday.
Right.
So they said in the release that it gives them like a 4 day window. So they could potentially go till Sunday.
Right. So let me. I have the AccuWeather forecast up here.
And
So,
as we know, it's very accurate.
well, it's it says
100%
it
accurate in
says
all
it
things.
says Accu. So I
That's right.
figured, yeah. All right. So it says sunny all the way up until about. Wow, it says Friday there should be no rain. So yeah, you're probably correct. And let me look at it Saturday.
If that's the case, I'm out Friday. I won't be able to cover the rest of the series. I got to go
Oh, you gotta
to
go to
Jack.
Star. Yeah, you gotta go to the Starville Championship games.
Yep.
And then Saturday. It's well, I mean, hell, even on Saturday, it says it's only a 28% chance of rain at 4 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock, it's a 75% chance of thunderstorms. So
Well,
they might be able to go Saturday morning too.
that'd be good.
Maybe start at like 11 and just get, I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, I'm hopeful they will address all that. Hopefully that future Brian will be able to just tell us what the plan is for the rest of the week. We'll see. We'll see.
Luckily, you have the premier meteorology department
Yes.
in America, in
That's
my
right.
opinion,
In this
unbiased.
country.
It's like 80% or something, like meteorologists come from Mississippi State. I don't know. I just made that up.
No, it's good.
But you have enough people on campus, they're going to be able to accurately, as close as they can possibly get it. Now, what we haven't checked with the people on the On3 message boards or Twitter yet. We haven't
Right.
checked with those people. They usually have a greater pulse on it as far out as, 10 days.
Yeah.
They usually have an idea of when the forecast is going to bring rain and what it's going to look like. We haven't checked with those people yet. But when we do, we'll get back to you. We will make sure the meteorologists check with them as well
Yeah.
to see. I'm picking on you people. I love you all.
We do.
But yeah, it's one of those deals. It's just like I tell people all the time. Like, it almost always gets figured out.
Right. Very rarely are you losing games. And certainly when you
Yeah,
talk about losing multiple games, very rare.
There is the times where, Mississippi State's supposed to play North Alabama and there's a 10% chance of rain and they knock the game because it's just so dangerous out there. It has nothing to do with RPI purposes.
That's
But
later in the season.
right.
That's when you
So
get into May.
you do see games canceled that way, but very
Absolutely.
rarely do you see like a whole weekend wiped out,
Right.
one game wiped out even. Like they usually find a way.
Yeah, they'll
So
find a way. So, we don't have an updated rotation. The state has been doing this day by day the past couple weekends, but we expect it to remain the same. Tomas Valinkas to go for in game two, whenever that is. Duke Stone to go in game three, whenever that is. All
I'm
right.
interested to see Duke too this week. I kind of chalk up that game against UCLA as just facing a really good lineup.
Facing an elite lineup, yeah,
And it's
and
not like he just got knocked
he was
around and
fine. He was
he
fine.
was fine. I think that Duke is probably going to be your guy.
In all reality, he's not likely to face a tougher lineup unless he starts against maybe LSU, maybe Texas. That's it. Those are the only two teams that, from a batting order perspective, are close to what you saw there. So,
I mean, when you have Will Gasparino, who has 10 home runs
yeah,
out
he's
of his
batting ninth.
14 hits. By the way, his slugging, when I looked at his slugging the other day, my eyes almost bugged out of my head
Yeah.
because 12 of his 14 hits were extra base hits.
Yeah.
He
He's
had 10 home
efficient.
runs and 12 doubles.
Yeah, he's efficient.
Yeah, two singles.
Yeah, well, singles are for losers, man. What are we doing here?
So that guy's batting in the eight hole.
Yeah.
There's some guys in there that aren't like, they're not batting 300 or
Yeah.
anything like that, but it's like the leadoff guy was batting like 200 something, but he was fast as lightning. So like they're all good, and they didn't strike out. Like
Yeah.
it's very
They're
difficult to strike them out. So
a good baseball team. They'll likely be in Omaha.
and
So.
he was the good thing about Duke. What I liked about him is he was pounding the zone. He was getting ahead in counts. Four of their five hits, I think that's how many he gave up when he was in there. Four out of his five hits were two strikes. So he was getting ahead. He just could not finish them because they were right on top of it. So I like Duke. I think he's going to be able to get it done. So I would imagine he's probably going to be your game three starter.
100% solid behind Duke Stone. All right. We've been putting it off this week because we've had big baseball games and everything else, but we've got to get this positional breakdown. We'll start next week going around the SEC, our SEC spring whip around. We'll start with Alabama next week. Friend of the program, Matt Stahl, will likely join us
Oh,
from there. I know
yes.
you're a huge fan.
I love Matt.
He's great. Did I tell you he and I made a bet during a basketball game this year?
What was the bet?
So when State played Alabama here, he came down to speak to me and he was like, "You ready to win this game?" And I was like, "Buddy, the State has no chance to win this game. No chance." He's like, "Oh no, Alabama's only playing like six guys." I was like, "Those six guys are going to win this game." He's like,
Yeah.
"You want to bet me?" I was like, "I'll bet you a dollar, friendly dollar." He's like, "Yeah." About 5 minutes to go in the game, he comes down. He's like, "I don't actually have a dollar." I was like, "What do you have?" He's like, "I got a 10." I was like, "I don't have any change." Because I knew I wasn't going to need a dollar. He's like, "All right, I have this $10 Chili's gift card." I was like, "I'll take it." So,
You get a $10 Chili's
Chili's
gift
gift
card?
card. I gave it to a friend of mine that lives in Tupelo. It's like,
You
what
can't
am I
even get
going to
the
do with
two
it?
for 20.
I could have, yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah, no, that's the one thing I always laugh whenever people try to like
Yeah,
be
you're not
even
jinxing
more
me.
negative than us. I'm like,
Yeah.
look, we're not even being negative here. We're just being real. This is what's going to happen, and almost
Oh.
every time it happens.
I forgot to tell you about this. So, last night doing Thunder and Lightning live, and at the end, I decided to do a little basketball and talk about how like Jan should be back. I fully support him coming back, but if you wanted to make a move with the way this team is playing, I understand. And one of these guys gets in there is like, "I don't think Hubbard's going to be here next year." And I just went into the thing. I was like, "This is a unique to Mississippi State phenomenon that they push our players into the portal." And this guy starts going off on me, and I
Yeah.
was like, I can't help it, man. He was
Did the
like,
same thing to me last year after the
he was
NCAA
like, "You
tournament.
couldn't pay me enough to enjoy losing." I'm like, "Do you follow pro sports? Like, guys get paid millions to lose every year. People actually pick the Jets and the Browns to go play football. Why? Because
And
the
God
money."
forbid Josh Hubbard just likes it here.
Yeah, or that he
I mean,
believes Chris Jans will turn it around next year. You know, that's
I
wild.
had people doing that. Like there was somebody the other day that tweeted at me that was like, Mason Francis needs to just go ahead and leave. Like, Why do you people do this? I don't understand the idea and the thought process that's rolling through your brain that you know what? I want my best players to leave the school I cheer for because they've got to be miserable. I need them to get out of here and enjoy their life. Why? I don't understand that.
I don't either.
I'm not saying like you
It
should
is a
hold them
unique. I'm
hostage
telling
here, but
you. Did you see any Ole Miss fans doing that with Trinidad? They were like, "Ah, he should just go. Just follow Kiffin. You should just go." No, they're all like,
no.
"He needs to stay right here."
It
Lacy needs to
really
stay right
is.
here. It's just
I haven't
misunderstood.
seen it anywhere
Yeah.
else.
So, all right, let's talk about this offensive line. This is our this week's positional breakdown. Last year, this was the worst offensive line in the SEC, and I don't want to look at any metrics. I don't want to look at any advanced statistics. I just watched the games, and Mississippi State could not protect the quarterback. They could not run the football effectively. The fact that this team averaged 30 points a game with this offensive line really does. If you want to be a person that like buys into Jeff Lebby and says, "Look, the potential, the ceiling is so high with this guy," the fact that he was able to be anything offensively last year with this group is the reason for that. Albert
Yeah, and
Reese was in reality the only guy they had that week in, week out you could somewhat rely on.
what I always said was, I think you have to give Blake Chapin a little more grace than what people gave him, because there's only so much he was able to do behind that offensive line. I mean, how much better would he have been as a passer, as far as going through his progressions? If he had an offensive line that could hold up consistently over a second and a half, 2 seconds, I don't think it was fair to him the criticism that he got. But because he's the quarterback and the quarterback is criticized and praised heavier than any other position, you look at the numbers, you see the plays, and you start thinking this is a shaping problem. It wasn't just a shaping problem, there were so many other issues. And functionally, I think the offensive line was the problem.
Yeah, agreed. And so Mississippi State came into this portal season knowing they had to upgrade the offensive line. They've brought in a lot of guys, and I think they did upgrade, but did they do enough? First and foremost, we know that they don't have a proven polished left tackle. They're going to, put a guy in there. That's maybe where Brandon Snay ends up. I believe it's Snay. Could be the guy there. Or maybe it could be one of the JUCO guys who didn't play last year, a guy like Saquon Miles or Jakeem Shumpert Perkins. Maybe that's where Miles McVay could end up. I don't know. But that's my biggest concern is they did not, that was the number one overall priority in the portal, and they really didn't nail it, in my opinion.
Yeah, and one thing that I'll say is, what's the development like for those guys that we didn't see? And you mentioned Jakeem Shumpert and Saquon Miles. Those were guys that were highly thought of coming out of junior college. Both of them had options. Miles was the top junior college offensive tackle in America, and they both redshirted. And so the first line of thinking from people is they weren't good enough to play on last year's offensive line, which was so bad. What makes you think they're good enough to play on this one?
You're right.
And so I guess I can agree with that in a lot of ways, but also there a lot of times there is a period there where guys need to come into the SEC and get acquainted, and I think that's probably the case here for these two. You look back at Mississippi State with Tyree Phillips and Martinez Rankin. Those guys came in highly rated. Martinez Rankin, especially, I think he was a top offensive lineman in JUCO. Neither one of them played their first year. And by the second year, they were competing or starting for Mississippi State on the offensive line. Totally different time period, different offense, all that stuff. But I think it remains that like you could see those guys take a big jump. It's the
Yeah.
same thing with players that transfer from school to school. How many guys have we seen struggle their first year they transfer? I'll use one in particular in a different sport, Reed Stallman. Reed Stallman comes from Campbell, gets in the SEC last year. We saw him do some good things. I mean, he hit double-digit home runs, but he batted in the 200s.
Right.
And was just not consistently good enough at the plate. This year, he looks totally different. And I think it happens in football all of the time where guys transfer from maybe a lower level They come to a different system, a different conference, whatever. And that first year, it's a bit of a struggle. I think Jalen Smith is probably going to see a jump this year after transferring in last year from Tennessee, different position. But I think that could happen for Jakeem Shumpert and Saquon Miles. Also, Braden Turnage, Spencer Dolan, those are guys that drew praise. All these guys drew praise last year without really playing.
Right.
So people were talking about their work ethic, how hard they're practicing, their tentative, all that stuff. Those are guys that we're not really talking about right now. We're just kind of looking at what they brought in from the portal. What kind of jump do those guys make? That's the biggest thing I want to see. I need to see those guys competing for playing time in the spring and standing out and looking like guys that could legitimately push. Because if not, you're banking on other guys that just haven't really proven it yet. We'll see on Tyler Miller. We'll see on Brandon Snay. Some of these
Mario
guys just
Nash.
haven't, Mario Nash, these guys haven't really done anything yet outside of Snay. So
Sneh.
Snay, I maybe it. I
It's
think we
Sneh.
found out what it
It's
was, but now
Sneh.
we Snay.
Yeah.
Miles
Sounds very
McVay.
French.
You know what, can Miles McVay get in the mix?
Yeah.
And then you got obviously Blake Steen's back, a guy that was, I know people are using that first half against Southern Miss as an end all on him. And I think
Agreed.
it's too early
I agree with that.
to just knock him out.
Yeah, I think Cannon Boone, Blake Steen, if Steen can move inside, I think he'd be a fantastic guard for you. And
Yeah.
then, but you need Snead, McVay, or somebody else to step up. I think that at least one of those younger transfers is going to make is going to be a big role. And that's Tyler Miller, Lionel Prudhomme.
I think Prudhomme's going to be starting for you
He could be
inside.
starting. DJ Chester is not a young guy, but I think he has a big role to play. If I made you go right now, what does it look like left to right?
I would say you're banking on Snead to be the
I think
left
you are.
tackle.
Agreed.
I would say, and then I think Prudhomme is probably going to be one of your guard spots, whether the left or the right. Their expectations for him are really high. I don't know what their plan is for Blake Steen. I would imagine it's for right tackle, but if not, that's a guy I could see sliding side at right guard. Center, obviously, you feel good about Cannon Boone. I think that DJ Chester probably is competing at any interior
All the
spot.
interior spots, yeah.
Yeah, and Miles McVay's probably competing for right tackle. Mario Nash is competing for tackle.
I think right tackle could also be where Jakeem Shumpert Perkins
Yeah.
could make
Or
an
left.
impact.
Or left. I
Yeah.
mean, and Saquon Miles, we'll see on him too. I don't think that you can count out Braden Turnage at a tackle spot. Spencer Dolan's competing too. I think both those guys are kind of sneaking under the radar. You know what's really interesting? I was looking at this roster that they have up. They For whatever reason, they have two freshmen on here that have an actual, offensive tackle and inside off interior offensive line. And then everybody else is just offensive line.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but that just out of
Noted.
nowhere just kind of came out. Leon Knoll is listed as an interior.
Okay.
And then Dalton Toothman is an offensive tackle. Everyone else is listed as offensive line. I just thought that was strange.
That is strange. So there's a lot of options here. We don't know how good they're going to be. And then we have the real question mark, which is the guy coaching them, and that's Phil Loadholt, who did nothing to inspire any sort of confidence whatsoever in his first year. And I keep going back to year one with Cody Kennedy. The offensive line was really bad at the beginning of the season, but they got better throughout the year and they were able to run the football and protect a little bit better. This offensive line did the opposite. They got worse throughout the year. By the end of the year, they were an absolute train wreck. If I said, give me a 1 through 5, what's your confidence level in Phil Loadholt? I mean, if you say higher than 2, I'm going to push back.
It's at the bottom right now.
Okay.
Until we see any kind of progress, it's got to be the lowest end of the pole. Because you're exactly right. the one guy that got fired from that staff in year one was Cody Kennedy, who had his group made probably the biggest jump out of any other group as the year went on. And it wasn't a very talented group. If you look at that first offensive line, it looked good on paper when you brought him in. But by the end of the year, I mean, we kind of looked at it and were like, they really weren't that talented. They kind of missed in the portal. They weren't very impressive there. They didn't have a lot of depth. But by the end of the year, they were improving. I thought by the end of the year they were okay. This offensive line, like you said, it got worse. That's always concerning. When you're seeing a team or a position group that is worse from day one to the end of the year, there's something internally going on there. And it might not be Phil Loadhold. It might be the chemistry is not good. The players are rotten. They're tired. They're hurt. It might be a collection of things, but it was very concerning to see how it played out. And they never really did anything to alleviate some of those issues up front, outside of bringing in Kamara Taylor, who could get away from them and kind of run away from the defense. But it is a concern. It's the biggest concern on the entire team. I think they've improved on paper at every position. They improved in the coaching staff at most positions as well. This is the one area that I look at that I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it better be improved, or Jeff Lebby could be looking for a new job next year.
Yeah.
That's essentially where you're at.
This is it. This is where if they're not better, and look, same thing I say about the defense. They don't have to be the best in the conference. They don't have to win the Joe Moore Award. They just got to
Just
be
be average.
average. And if you can get average out of this offensive line with what Kamario Taylor gets you and the weapons you have and the skill positions, you'll be fine. But they've got to improve. And I mean, like you
I
just
don't
said,
think that's
man.
asking for much. We
It's not
asked
asking
that
for
of Mississippi
anything.
State pitching whenever they were so bad and they fired Scott Foxhall.
Yes.
Just be bad. Could you just be not good?
Not the worst. Just
Not the
be not
worst.
the worst.
Because that's kind of
If you can't,
it's
if
very
that's asking too
similar.
much, then we're in the wrong business. I mean,
Well, it's very similar when we looked at that ERA. I remember us talking about that, and we looked at the ERA and it was 7-something with Scott Foxhall, and we said, could they get that thing to 5.5,
Yeah, which would still be bad.
which was bad. If they got it to 5.5, they're fighting for a regional. And the next year, Justin Parker got it to like 4.1. And that's what we're asking here for the offensive line. Could you just not be, last in the SEC in sacks surrendered? Can you just open up a hole here and there and let the rushing attack? Because this offense, as you mentioned earlier in this conversation, they're averaging over 30 points per game with a god-awful offensive line. What happens if you're just not very good up front? And then what happens if you're pretty good or you're average? This offense can do so many things without having an elite offensive line. You don't have to be the best offensive line in the SEC for this offense to be super dynamic, and you
Especially
have
since
pieces.
when we're talking about team expectations, we're not talking about winning a national title here at Mississippi State. We're just talking about can they be a top 20 team? And having
Yes.
an average offensive line will get them there. Especially when you have a quarterback who can do a lot with his feet, just giving him some protection is going to be enough. So, a lot of names. This is the group that we have to have the big closest eye on in spring and in preseason and everything else. And until we see them on the field, we're not going to know. But
One thing I'll say
I'm hopeful they're
is,
better.
I think I've said this about this offensive line, and we did discuss this when we were talking about the transfer portal, when everybody was upset that we were talking about they were missing targets, whatever. I do think that the floor of this group has come up.
I
It is
think
a
you're right.
more talented group as a whole across the board. They're more talented at tackle. They're more talented in the interior. And I think what they did, when you look at what they did in the transfer portal with Tyler Miller, Mario Nash, Isaiah Autry-Dent, like those guys, Lionel Prudhomme, they're kind of building for next year to be their really big year on the line with those guys, because they're going to be coming into year three. They should be developed into really good players. They're talented. The issue is you need them to be helping you right now. So there is a bit of a concern there. Is these guys have not gotten a lot of playing time, and you're asking them to kind of be ready. And
You're hoping that
at
they're
the
a
same
lot,
time,
they're super talented.
it looks like they're kind of building for the future. You know what I'm saying?
It's
Like,
weird, yeah.
so I think there is some intrigue there at least. I don't think that we can definitively say this offensive line is going to stink.
Right.
Like, I think there's a chance that they could hit right now. There's a chance that Tyler Miller and Mario Nash could just the light click and they're ready to roll. You know, that there is a chance that that could happen. I think there's a better chance that this offensive line is pretty good next year, but they have to be good enough this year. So that's the question mark. Can they get everything they need out of this group this season to make this offense click and to make this offense be good enough to compete inside the SEC that keeps, Jeff Lebby in place, that keeps him as the head coach of Mississippi State? Because, having that talent for next year does nothing for you if you're not here next year.
Exactly. You set the table for the next guy if they're not better this season. All right. We'll talk
That, or
tight
they might
end.
just transfer again. I mean, who
That's true.
knows?
You never know. You never know. Tight ends next week, and we'll keep going. And like I said, we'll start spring. We'll start looking at other schools around the SEC. So 15 other previews coming your way next week, starting next week on Thunder and Lightning. All right. Sunday we'll talk. We'll talk this baseball series, and like I said, next week we've got some good football stuff to start getting into. Basketball will come to a merciful end. That'll be great. And yeah, there you go. Should be a good weekend.
Yay.
Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Shout out to Robert Woodard.
Mississippi Media Production.